Tell you what, when you're in a service like this where it starts out and God has already got us in a spirit of worship and praise, I enjoy that. I don't know of anywhere else on earth that I'd rather be. I can't say enough about how much I appreciate all you people. Y'all are always showing your hospitality to me and my dad, have for several years now. And your pastor's like my big brother, even though there's beginning to be less of him and more of me. And I love him and his whole family. I appreciate Brother Daniel Waters. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but we are neighbors. He lives right through the woods from me. And Brother Daniel, I appreciate you. And these evangelists that are in here, I met one in the prayer room a while ago. I can't remember his name. He's from over in Tuscaloosa, is that right? Alabama. Now think about Brother Jared. Jared's, my wife and I fell in love with Brother Jared and Miss Jennifer. Actually, we fell in love with Miss Jennifer and we tolerate Jared. That's the way that goes. But my wife calls them our South Carolina youngins. And we love them and I enjoy the singing. And I appreciate God using them the way that He does. Appreciate Brother Brad Tybert. I love you, brother. I appreciate you very much. I could sit here and look at the eyes of a lot of people. And I know a lot of you in here, and you're precious to me. Felton, I love you, boy. I mean that. I love your family. Y'all blessing to me. Love my daddy. Appreciate my daddy. Way over there in the corner by himself. Of course, he ain't by himself. I believe Jesus is sitting right beside him. Had something happen to me today I've never had happen to me before in my life. I was at Brother Ken's cabin up in the loft studying, preparing for tonight. And I heard two little boys coming up them wooden steps as I was up there laying on the bed studying. And Brother Josh said, "Boys, y'all go up there and pray for that preacher tonight." I said, "Brother Jody's going to preach. Y'all go up there and pray for him." Man, here they come. First is little Josh, little Jonah. Where's he at? He's back over there. Where's he at? I can't see him. Is he playing under the pew? Probably. Little Jonah bowed his head on my bed, began to call on God for me. Then he got done, little Noah bowed his head and started praying for me. I told Brother Ken, if anybody's prayed for me in the last 10 years, I know God's heard them two prayers, whether He heard anybody else's or not. That's for sure. I love all of you. Love you, Brother Donald Steve. I could go on. Take your Bibles tonight. Turn to the book of Amos, chapter number 5, if you will. Hadn't it been good the last two nights? Man, I'm telling you, Brother Mark Cooper, I was here Monday night. I know Brother David Phillips preached Sunday night, and then Brother Dean McNeese preached Sunday morning. I've been able to hear the last two messages, and man, how last night challenged me greatly and about being on the outside looking in, and I'm glad I'm on the inside. It's been good. Amos chapter 5, verse number 8, I'm going to read one verse. That's that verse, number 8. The Bible says, "Seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is His name." I'm interested in the first two words of that verse. Seek Him. That's also the title of my message tonight. A lot of people are looking for a lot of things. They're looking for answers to their questions. They're looking for some comfort during their pain. They're looking for some hope in the day that we live. I have one statement to make, and that is, I think our highest priority among God's people, and one of the reasons why America is in the mess we're in, is because we've stopped that. But if we're ever going to see America get back to where she needs to be, it'll come from God's people turning back to God and seeking Him. You can be seated tonight. Amos was a country boy. I like being around country folk because that's what I are. Amos was a plow boy, and I will say he was really country when country wasn't cool, that's for sure. And God shared with you and I some messages in this book that really should be easy for you and I to understand because it's in a language where we can understand it. Amos, as a prophet, is speaking out, saying, seek Him, trying to get the people to turn back to God. I want to show you three things by way of introduction before I get into my message in this verse. I wanted you to notice the nature of Him. Verse number 8 says, seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, watch this, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning. That is the nature of Him. The fact that He's able to turn the shadow of death into morning means that He can take a situation where it looks like there is no hope and make a new beginning out of a bad situation. I'm glad God is able to bring and cause the sun to shine again and cause the sun to come up in a new day. You may be here tonight and you may be experiencing a dark time in your life and maybe you are looking for some answers in your life. I'm here to tell you tonight to seek Him who is able to cause your darkness to flee and bring daylight back into your life again. The nature of Him. I want you to notice, secondly of all, the need of Him. Verse number 8 again. The Bible says, seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning. And here it is. And maketh the day dark with night. Here we go. That calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. We all know the waters of the sea, Brother Joe, are salt water. Salt water is good for nothing. Salt water, you can't pour it on a garden, it'll kill it. You can't pour it on a plant, it'll kill it. But yet God can take salt water, take it through the process of evaporation, run it through the clouds and purify it. And there we have rain upon the face of the earth. That shows our need of Him. For without water, you and I will die. We've got to have God. And aren't you glad He can take something that has no use at all? It is completely and totally worthless and useless. Run it through His process called evaporation. And then make it where it's able to be a blessing to everybody it's around. A lot of people say, we don't really need God today. Many are falling into that category, but without God, we will die. Our churches will die.
Our families will die. Our friendships with God will die. We need God back in our churches. We need God in our schools. We need God in our government. We need God in our life every single day. Friend, we need to be seeking Him who maketh the seven stars and Orion. There's the nature of Him. There's the need of Him. But also in verse number 8, you'll find the name of Him. Verse 8, seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion and turneth the shadow of death into the morning and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is His name. When you look up that word Lord there in the context, it is capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. For those of you in here that have studied your Bible and you understand what capitalization actually means when you spell the Lord's name that way. When you spell it with a capital O and a little, or capital L and a little O and a little R and a little D. That is a military term given reference to His position as authority and as a captain or a leader. But when you spell His name, capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D, that means Jehovah God. And I'm telling you, friend, who we need to seek today. We need to be seeking God. That's who's going to solve our problems and restore our families and restore our country is nothing other than God Himself. The nature of Him, the need of Him, the name of Him. In verse number 8, you'll notice that Amos mentions those seven stars and Orion. Now, I'm not much into astrology. I do read books and thank God for good authors. I never have enjoyed reading books, and a lot of people say, you read after somebody else, yeah, they're educated, and I'm not. I need to read behind smart people, so I'll have something to say. And those seven stars in Orion, actually those seven stars are called the seven pleiades. It's a cluster, a cessation of stars out there in our galaxy. It's actually, they said if you go light years, it's 360 light years away. Now, I don't know if you can put that into your mind, but the speed of light is 86,000 miles per second. Gotta be a Chevy motor in there somewhere. Amen. That's 86,000 feet or miles per second. 360, I think it's 360 light years away. That's a long ways. When you look at the seven pleiades, you look at them as a group, there's seven stars in the seven pleiades, and actually there's 14, but only seven can be seen with the eyes of man. They say that around the diameter of those seven stars is some 30 light years in diameter. That's pretty big. Here's Amos out there in the nighttime. God speaking to his heart as that shepherd, that farmer is laying out there and he's looking up into the heavens and God starts putting them stars on his mind. He said, seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. Let me go ahead and stop and say this. I'm glad God's got a twinkle of light in the dark time to get our attention off what's going on in our life. Seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. What do these seven stars mean? What is he giving reference to when he's talking about God? I wrote down a few things. Here they are. The mention of the seven stars and Orion speak of the changelessness of God's ways. Now think with me, if you will, for a moment. Those seven stars and Orion, which was a formation of a Greek god out there in the middle of outer space who was a hunter. And he had a sword in his hand who was a picture of a fighter. And those seven stars was there. Those are the seven same seven stars that Adam and Eve saw in the Garden of Eden. Those are the same stars that was there when God took Abraham up on the mountain and He said, you look, your seed is going to be as the number of the stars in the sky. Them same stars was there. Them same stars was there all from the beginning of time. And guess what? Those seven stars are still there today that God spoke about in Amos chapter number 5 and verse number 8. And guess what? They have not changed one bit. I'll tell you what that's a picture of. That's a picture of the changelessness of our God. I'm glad down through the years and time is not able to change Him or move Him from who He is. Friend, you ought to seek Him. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. People change all the time. We look at ourselves. I was looking at the other week we had, actually it was Sunday. We celebrated 75 years, our 75th anniversary at Bethel Baptist Church. Not me being pastor, of course. Brother Jared and Miss Jennifer was there and he sang and enjoyed the day with us. We had a good time there at church. And they had a bunch of memorabilia set up, pictures of plumb back in the 30s all the way up to now. And had pictures of me. I've been there now at Bethel. 16 years will be the last Sunday of November. And I had a bunch of pictures of me and my family. And I hadn't always been as big a preacher as I am. If anybody asks you who preached Wednesday night at Liberty, just tell them a big preacher preached. Because I am getting bigger by the day. Brother Jared looked at one of them pictures and he said, I saw one of those pictures in there of you, and I couldn't believe I'd have never guessed that was you. And I said, well, it was. And by the way, that was my brother. I ate him. We change. We change. Sometimes relationships change. Churches change. People change. Attitudes change. Love for one another even changes. And a lot of things change in our life. America has changed. And a lot of people's changing, especially their mind. It's good to know in this change in society, though, that we've got a God that has not changed any at all. Hallelujah. The seven stars in Orion speak of the changelessness of His ways. Number two, the mentioning of the seven stars in Orion speak of the powerfulness of His Word. Now, God could have created this whole outfit any way He wanted to. He could have got together a committee. You know how a lot of Baptist churches are. They think you got to have a committee to do anything. You know, He could have got together a bunch of brilliant minds and said, all right, guys, I want y'all to make this for me. But God didn't do that. In Genesis chapter number 1, all down through there you'll read where the Bible says, and God said, and it was so. And God said, and it was so. The Bible even says today that God's upholding all things by the word of His power. That means one day way back yonder in time, God created the sun and the moon and the stars by speaking it into existence. He told the stars to go out there and stay there and don't move until He says so. And ever since God spoke His stars out there and He spoke it by His word, them stars ain't moved. That's a picture of the powerfulness of God's Word. I'm here to tell you tonight, there's still power in the spoken Word of the living God. And Brother Ken, we get in pulpit week after week. Brother Brad, week after week. Brother Daniel, we get in the pulpit week after week. Brother Jared, we mount the pulpit. Brother Josh, Dad, we get in the pulpit and we wonder why our churches are suffering. We wonder why our churches are dying. We wonder why things are going the way that they are. It's simply because we've forgotten the most powerful thing we have is the Word of God. It's still a book. There's still power. It'll change lives. It'll cause stuff to happen. We need to get back to the blessed old book. It's the Word of God. To now, today, when you go in a lot of churches, all you're going to hear is, well, if you ain't wearing a skirt, or if you ain't got your hair cut a certain way, I'm still preaching. Or if you ain't doing this, and a lot of times the message of most men today is things. And they're getting away from the Word. And they ain't doing nothing more than preaching a preference. And they're putting a bunch of things together to try to say it's the Word of God. And it ain't so to manipulate the minds of people today. And they're doing nothing more than making a mockery out of Christianity. And they're making a mockery out of the things of God. And they're handling the Word of God deceitfully. And they're not getting in the pulpits and preaching of the spoken Word of God. And they wonder why there's no change in their church. And they wonder why there's no creativity in their church. And they wonder why nothing is happening in their church. It's because they've gotten away from the Word of God. I don't know about you. Just give me this blessed old book. Bear back and preach the book. Preach the book. We need to get back to the King James Bible. Because there's power. There's power in the Word. Among the independent Baptists today, and that's the only ones I know about because I am one. If you ain't preaching and beating people up and running them down the road, they don't think you're preaching. By the way, I'd hate to have to sit under some of the garbage that a lot of people have to sit under week in and week out. I know the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But listen, friend, I know I'm wicked. I know my heart's deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked, and who can know it? I know there's nothing good about me, and my righteousness is as filthy rags. But I need somebody to preach the book to me and show me how to do better and give me a good reason to do better. Hey, you say, friend, what are we going to do? We better get back to seeking Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. There's power in the Word. And so we wonder why we're missing the power in our churches. And some are trying to preach the Word, but instead of preaching the Word, they're preaching their own ideas. And when they do preach it, they preach it out of context to try to make it mean something that they want it to mean instead of what God wants it to mean. This has been on me a long time. I'm telling you, friend, our churches are in a mess. And the only thing that's going to straighten the mess out, it's not going to be a committee meeting. It's not going to be another preacher that's got his suit and tie on. It's going to be because God's people start seeking Him that made the seven stars and over. The meaning of the seven stars in Orion speak of the changelessness of His ways, the powerfulness of His Word. They're still there. But then they also speak of the awesomeness of His work. The awesomeness of His work. I told you a while ago it'd take you 18 or 30 light years to travel around that one cessation of worlds. And by the way, they are planets. And each star is a world. And did you know that the smallest of those seven stars, which is called the Pleiades, Google it when you go home, dwarfs the earth in size. Oh yeah. We think we're a big world. 25,000 miles in diameter. Pretty big. Big old outfit. And there's a lot of people on this thing. But when you think about those other seven, just seven, and by the way, there's trillions of worlds and planets. I don't know if you get anything out of this or not, but I'm trying to make God real big and you real little. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying my best to get your eyes off of you and get your eyes on God and make God big as I possibly can. I can't make Him as big as He should be, but He's always been big enough. Amen. Oh yeah. Take you 30 light years just to travel around them seven stars, that one cluster. That's not talking about the complete galaxy and all the stars that are in there. Neither is it talking about Orion and everything that's happening there. We don't even see a lot of the worlds that God created. A lot of times we're stuck in our own little bitty world. And I'm telling you the reason He mentioned them seven stars and Orion is so that Amos would get his mind off of the world he was in and get his mind on another world that was bigger than the world he lived in. I tell you what we ought to do. We better start seeking Him. His work is awesome. It's mind-blowing when you think about everything that God has done. Let me tell you something that's even more wonderful that blows your mind and the work that He does by His Word. It's more than just, that's a big thing. I mean, that's major when you think about those other worlds, Brother Josh. But when I think about me, Felton, and the work that God done in my heart and the change that He made in me. Oh, and the change that He made in you, that's a work, friend. Some of y'all used to be out there drunk, sitting on a bar stool, not having no hope, wondering where you was going to get your next paycheck to feed your family. Some of you used to be potheads and dopeheads and crackheads. Hey, some of y'all used to not even have any use for you at all. You was worthless, you was hopeless, and you was helpless. Let the Word of God come to where you was one day. And He's done an awesome work inside your life. Seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. The changelessness of His ways. Those seven stars speak of the powerfulness of His Word. They speak of the awesomeness of His work. Y'all watch this one. They also speak of the worthiness of His worship. Y'all watch your Bible. Let's read this plain again so you can understand it. I need to slow down sometimes and read things slow so I get it. Kind of like eating banana pudding. You know, when you got something good, you need to slow down and enjoy it. I don't know who's been making all them desserts down there, but you've caused me to gain at least 8 pounds. I'm not complaining. Don't stop doing it, but I really need to go on a diet, but I'm not while I'm here, okay? Verse number 8. Seek Him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. Now my point is the worthiness of His worship. Now you might be looking at that verse and you're saying, I don't see worship or anything for me to worship Him about. But now I want you to flip over to Revelation chapter number 1. Flip over to Revelation chapter number 1. And I want you to notice verse number 15. I'll start right there. But actually where I'm taking you to is verse 16. Look at verse number 15. Y'all with me? If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Look at verse 16. And he had in his right hand. Hey, y'all remember me telling y'all a while ago where I said it'd take you 30 light years just to go around them seven stars? Y'all remember that a light year is, it takes, the speed of light is 86,000 miles per second. Did y'all remember that? Take you 30 of those years going that fast, and a Ford wouldn't do it. There's no way. Had to be a Chevrolet if you'd even come close. Now think about this. It says he come up, Jesus, with seven stars in his right hand. Oh, that shows you the bigness and the authority and the power of our God that is put in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may some of you in here, you think you can fall out of the Father's hand, out of Jesus' hand. He's got seven stars in it. It'd take you 30 light years to get around it. And I'm right smack dab in the middle of it. You could start walking right now up till the end of time. And you ain't even got out of the center of his hand yet. He's worthy of our worship and our praise. We ought to give him glory. Jesus. And that right hand is symbol of what? Power. And in his right hand, by saying it's in his right hand, it's a position of power, meaning that as Amos was laying there on his back, looking up in awe at everything that was there. I mean, you look up at the stars at night, and doesn't it just make you wonder on a clear night? I know it's been cloudy here lately, but you look up in the stars and it just blows your mind at how far they are. And this is just our galaxy. And we see everything that is out there. And Amos was looking at it. And yet John the Revelator pinned down, oh, but Jesus is so much greater. The whole book is revealing Jesus is greater. And you look at how great and how awesome those stars really are in their beauty. But Jesus has power over the stars. I say hallelujah. That's who we ought to start seeking. Amen. The worthiness of his worship. Last point, watch this. We've seen that these seven stars in Orion speak of the changelessness of His ways. They speak of the powerfulness of His Word, the awesomeness of His work, the worthiness of His worship, but they also speak of the kindness of His warning. The only time you can see the seven stars or the pleiades is in the springtime of the year. When those seven stars come out, as a farmer back in the Bible days, they would look up there and they would see those stars and they knew that it was time to plant. It's kind of like y'all with the farmer's almanac. How many's got one? I was raised on a farmer's almanac. If the signs weren't right, you didn't kill hogs, you didn't dig a post hole or nothing like that. But if you done it when the signs was right, you could dig your post hole and kill a hog. I remember my grandpa, when the signs wasn't right, if they wasn't in the head, when you went and killed hogs, the meat would spoil. Didn't matter how cold it was. And if you dug a hole when the signs weren't right, you wouldn't have enough dirt to put back in the hole. The only time you can see the seven stars or the seven pleiades is in the spring. That means it's time to plant. You tell me God ain't kind?
Amen.
Now watch this. Orion. The only time Orion is seen is in the winter months.
And when you've seen that formation of stars, that means take heed, bad weather is coming. Amos was very familiar with the seven stars in Orion. He had to be because he was a herdman. Back in those days, the sailors would look at the star alignment. Matter of fact, you say, I don't know if they did or not. Those pyramids over there in Egypt is lined up perfectly with the stars. Our ancestors and people, they paid attention to the stars in the sky. We don't have time to do that no more. We got to go everywhere and do everything. But the Orion, when they saw Orion, it means bad weather's a-coming. You better batten down the hatches and you better get to the house. It's fixing to get rough. And by God showing Amos saying, seeketh him that maketh the seven stars. And Orion was a picture that seek the one that gives the warning. God has given a warning to man. And Orion spiritually is in the sky. And everybody seeking everything but him that maketh the seven stars in Orion. There's a lot of gods in our day. Greek mythology, probably some of you in here studied it. You got Zeus and Hercules and Medusa, and you've got all this Greek mythology. Something I wanted to show you about that. I said a while ago Orion was a hunter. And all these other gods, matter of fact, he was the god of the sea. And they would worship these gods. And by God telling Amos, or telling the people to seek him that maketh the seven stars, what he was saying was, our God is greater than any other God. Our country is in a mess. I don't know what's going to happen in America. America is in a mess politically. Economically, we owe more money than we've ever owed before. Spiritually. Nationally. And I don't know if it bothers y'all or not, but the Muslims are buying everything they can in my area. That bothers me. They just bought that old motel there in Ashburn, Brother Daniel. They paid $600,000 for it. There's 200 members in that mosque in North Ashburn. I found this out. Did y'all know 15 to 25% of Muslims are extremists? They say there's 1.3 billion Muslims in the world. That means there are potentially 280 to 300 million of them are Muslim extremist terrorists. That means they'd rather cut your head off than to look at you. Now think about this. In my town, I'm not talking about yours. My town, there's a mosque with 200 Muslims in it. That means there's the potential of having 50 terrorists in Ashburn. Brother Ken, that worries me to death. You go to any 7-Eleven or motel between here and New York City, they own everything. I thought they hated America. I thought we were the great Satan, the great infidel. What are they doing coming over here? It bothers me! Then there was a killing the other week. Brother Ken, I hope I'm okay in talking about this. Up in Oregon, there was a shooting, and the Muslim is the one that went up there and killed those people. He would ask them, he'd say, are you a Christian? And when they said, yeah, he would shoot them right there on the spot and kill them. And yet nothing seems to happen, and nobody seems to be crying. And the whole time, our churches are dead. We've got people that's playing church and playing Christianity. We've got preachers quitting. We've got people running around and having affairs and backsliding on God. Friend, I'm telling you, if there's ever been a time that we need to seek Him, it's today in which we live.
And the problem is, anymore, we've got it made. In our generation, Brother Ken, we don't have to want for nothing. We've got it made. And I'm going to tell you something. Our generation has never seen it bad on American soil. Some of y'all's mamas and daddies went through the Great Depression, World War II, and they saw some hard times in the United States of America. I'm telling you, friend, our churches better get back to seeking God or we're going to be in trouble. There's a big difference between their generation and ours. They saw the fact that they needed God, and our generation is too busy running to a ball field or a cheerleading contest or something worldly, when what we better be doing is seeking in Him. We'll call some card reader. Some thought the other week it was so wonderful when the Pope came to America. Oh, it was so wonderful. One of the CNN news anchors, they called Him Jesus. Yeah. We got something going on in called Planned Parenthood that our tax dollars, Brother Ken, is paying for. Murdering babies. Selling their body parts. I tell you what it makes me want to do more than ever. It makes me want to preach louder, pray harder, sing louder, and seek Him more than I have in my life. If for nothing else, I look at these youngins. Felton's got four of them. I love every one of them. Felton's done had to wear them out, I think. They ain't real happy. They sitting here at church, though, and I love all of them. Logan, Dylan, little Gretchen's my buddy, and Nay-Nay. We've been fighting ever since he about come out of his mama's womb. I love every one of them. I look at little Parker and Olivia, now little Sailor over here, been going to doctors and not knowing exactly what's going on with her little body. This family's went through enough the last several months, worried to death about the grandbaby. I look at Josh over here with his two young boys. I don't know what God's going to do with this one right here, but brother, He's going to do something great with little Noah. I look at these youngins in here. I don't even know them, but they're here in church. I've been here several times and little youngins had come and getting older, and some of y'all had come down here and gather around and pray for them. You want me to tell you why we better be seeking God? There's another generation coming on behind you and I. Hey, friend, we better get the meeting business with God. I've got two girls at home. One's about out of the house. I had her boyfriend ask me the other day, sitting in the trucks, nervous as a cat. I don't know why he'd be nervous talking to me. He asked me if he could have my daughter's hand in marriage. And I said, well, two things I need to tell you. I said, the first one, I don't think I've got to tell you, but I got to tell you. And I said, I really don't want to tell you, but I have no choice to tell you. I said, you know what will happen to you if you ever lay a hand on my daughter? He was nervous. Now, this boy's like 6'3", works out, and I'm over here 43 years old, out of shape, preacher, but I do pack a lot of guns. He was nervous, had a shaky voice, and he said, I know, ain't going to have to worry about that. I said, well, I know I don't, but I just had to tell you. I said, number two, second thing. We've raised her in church. My daughters know nothing but God. Everything we have because God give it to us. My kids don't know nothing but the blessings of God. They've trusted Him and they've watched their mom and daddy and all of our flaws and imperfections. They know that we've been blessed by the hand of God. And I said, I'm going to demand that you keep my daughter in church and close to God because she don't know nothing no different than seeking God. And what we need to be doing is raising another generation of kids and seek God, friend, because they're going to need Him.
my little baby girl the other Sunday, this past Sunday, we had a good service. You know, it don't always happen that way. It's one of them tear-jerking, snot-slinging services. And Lindsay Beth was up there in the altar, and Melissa was in the altar, and Kaylin was in the altar, and I was over there praying with them. Lindsay hugged on my neck for a while, crying like a baby. I'm glad my kids know what it's like to be around the Holy Ghost. I'm glad they don't shrink up and get scared to death. They know what it's like. Got home, and Kaylin's boyfriend wasn't in the altar with us. Y'all saying, really? Yeah. It might not bother you, but it bothers me. If a man's going to bury my daughter, he's going to be in the altar with her. I said, hey, son, I noticed this morning you didn't get in the altar with my daughter. You want her hand in marriage? He looked at me like a deer caught in headlights. I said, now listen, if for nothing else, you better be praying for you while you're down there. Because you marry my daughter, you're going to need God. I can promise you that. You're going to need a good job and a lot of money because she's high maintenance. You better seek God. You got it coming. Yeah. Sickening. There's got to be a desire in your heart created to want Him. And our wanter needs to change. Our wanter's got to change. I've preached longer than I even wanted to tonight. I wonder how many would seek Him tonight. I wonder how many of you are going to seek Him in your heart. Let's all stand.